Blog Talk Radio.
Are part of our ministry. Amen. Glory to God. it's excuse me, such a sad day. The weekend has been mightily crazy, and I'm not going to go into details about everything that I saw and the way people are behaving, and I'm not going to go into all that. But it's a shame. And I know God is not pleased, amen. And I believe he's not pleased even probably with me, because I probably could be doing more. God has given me a voice to build his kingdom. God has given me a voice not only to help, but to lead the people to him. Amen. Glory to God. And that's just me expressing the way I truly feel. I try to understand a young man lost his life. He couldn't breathe. Someone put their knee on his neck for 9 minutes. Was it 9 minutes? And just put your knee on him. And as he cried out for his mother, and he cried out, he couldn't breathe. He ended up passing away because he couldn't breathe. God's air was removed from his body. And I find it, sometimes I sit back and think over these last couple of days that there's a group of people that took this young man's death and use it for their own selfish greed, their hatred, whatever it may be, to participate, to infiltrate a protest, a good protest, a protest about reminding the police as well as the government that Black Lives Matter, that we're not going to take it anymore. And they did a good job. You know, they did it with love. They did it with the passion from their heart. And I know people are angry, and I know people are upset, but we can't go on our anger. But I'm just saying all this for those who infiltrated that peaceful protest, not only in Philadelphia, not only in Delaware, not only in Minneapolis, not only in New York, but wherever you have done it, you have to pay for that. Here we are in a pandemic where people can't work, people are not working, their business has been shut down, they're barely feeding their families, they're barely making it to another day, and God has blessed us with giving us some freedom and uplift, some time for people to open their buildings back and open their businesses back. And what do? We infiltrate and we destroy. We become Judases. We get in, we pretend we love you, we pretend everything is okay, and then you destroy people's businesses. People have worked hard to build those businesses. People have saved all their lives. People's life savings are in those. But you got to remember, the blood is on your hands. Some people have had strokes for losing everything. Some people done had heart attacks. And we don't look at our actions behind what we do. There's a reaction to every action. And I've seen some things this past weekend that's made me want to just cry, made me want to holler, made me want to scream. And I just said, Lord, what can I do? So if there's anything in your heart, I'm not telling no one how to react, how to behave, but I am saying trust in God. I am saying God has the answers. I am saying God knows all. I am saying God is going to make a way out of no way. Don't give up. Don't surrender. Don't throw in the towel. It's not over for you. Those who were last shall be first, and those who first shall be last. God has a plan for you. We may lost a little bit, but through Christ Jesus, we're going to gain much. Amen. Glory to God. I just want to open up in prayer. Father God, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. And I thank you that because you are a graceful God and a loving and kind God, Father, there will be favor on the land, Father. You will touch the hearts of your people, God. Touch the hearts of your people, Father, so they will know you, God. Father, no one has an arm like you, God. Lord, please, God, please, Father, let your full power reign on this earth, Father. Let your might reign on this earth, God. Lord, you have a mighty arm, Father. Lord, your hands are strong. Lord, Your right hand is high. Stretch out your arm and deliver us, Father, and rid us out of all this bondage, God. Let fear and dread fall upon the enemy by the greatness of your arm until it pass over us, God. We need you, Lord. We have to have your grace and your mercy. We have to have your favor, God. Favor us and let your might arm, let your right arm bring us into the possessions of your love, into your care, into your wisdom, into your understanding, God. Please, God, let your hand establish us, God, and let your arm strengthen us, God. Please, we need you, Father. Oh, Father God, your right hand and your holy arm gives us victory. Please, God, show lightning down your arm, Father. Show thunder down your arm, Father, because, Father, and put on strength on us, God. Let your love and your grace and mercy fall upon your people, God. Put a spirit, Father, in us, Father, that we will not quit, that we will not give up, God, that we will trust in you with all our heart, all our mind, all our spirit, all our soul, God. Father God, we need you, Father. We call to the angels of healing, the angels of deliverance. We call the angels from heaven to come down and fight our battles on this day, God, in the name of Jesus. Not only all battles, but those who cannot fight for themselves, God. Father, we need you to rain from heaven on this day, God. Tear down the walls of hell, God, and come through here, God. Blow a peaceful wind, God. Blow correction, God. Move everything out the way that's not like you. God, we trust and believe that it's already done. We ask you to bless the elderly, God. Bless those who have suffered and lost, Father. Father, we ask you to reward them with even more, God. More joy, more strength, more riches, God. Father, keep them in your perfect care. Keep them in your perfect peace. Don't let them die, God. Don't let them just die a lonely person, Father, because they lost. That's only material things, God. You have in you, God, an everlasting joy that will override everything that we lose, God. This is not about a material thing. This is about getting our salvation right with Christ. This is about getting our minds and our hearts right with you, getting to know God even more, and operating in the spirit of love. Jesus is love. And we thank you, and we glorify you, and we just say, God, come. We're waiting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. It's sad. It's sad. I kind of think back when I was in the world and I was, you know, I wasn't thinking right. I wasn't living right. I didn't know Christ, and I thought my ways were the best ways, and I never gave God a chance. And I just believe that the people need Jesus. Those of us that are saved need more Jesus, and those who are not saved need Jesus. Jesus has been just removed out of our lives. We start gravitating to the movie stars, the athletes. We're gravitating to the drug dealer, those that we see financial riches, but we're not looking at our souls. Amen. We're not looking at our souls. We need a ray of hope. We need a ray of hope. I'm going to read some things out of the Bible. I do have scripture on tonight. Amen. Just bear with me. Amen. And hear me out. I know everybody. I'm not saying all people are bad. I'm not saying because some people went there with the right intentions, with the right heart. But we always know there's always that one, that two, that three, how many it may be, that make a good thing seem like it's bad. But I believe that God is going to fix this thing. Before we know it, and before we know it, there's going to be a wind that comes through, and everything and everyone that's not like God will be removed. Amen. I was reading something in the book of John, because John was saying he had written the book that he wrote for the people, for the Christian people, because the Christian people were facing increasing persecution and hostility under the Roman rule. So his book is especially relevant to those who are alone, who experience suffering and rejection, and who are in need of hope. John's gospel unfolds through stories in which Jesus encountered people in various states of need, longing for relief from the pain caused by living in the falling world. Jesus addresses their immediate concerns and often reveals deeper needs, which he is both willing and able to satisfy. Jesus does not distinguish between highly respected people and those considered lowly and despised. He welcomes everyone freely, and John's hope is that his readers, which is us, will believe and continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God, and that by believing in him, them, they, whoever, will have life by the power of his name. Amen. And I was reading that, and it's a time that people are doing a lot of suffering. People are tired of suffering. People are tired of seeing the pain. Mothers losing children, fathers losing sons, brothers losing brothers, sisters losing brothers, wives losing husbands, and it's a tiring, and it could wear you down. I don't care how strong you are, it could wear you down as a human being. But I'm here to tell you, God is the answer, and he will lift you up. If we just cast all our cares upon the Lord, cast your cares upon Jesus Christ, and I promise you, he'll bring us out of it. Amen. Because, see, God has sent Jesus to meet us just where we are. I don't care if you're in a crack house. I don't care if you're in a mental hospital. I don't care if you're in a hospital. I don't care if you have dead, almost dead. I don't care. God sent Jesus to meet you right where we are. And if you're hurting, cry out to your life. Ask God to come into your heart. See, us Christians, we got to get back on the ball. Because before I was saved, I didn't know how to call Christ into my life. I didn't know how to cry out to Jesus. And there's a lot of hurting people that's out there that don't know how to call Christ. That's why they react the way they react. That's why they behave. It's like a baby who throws a tantrum. They do that to get your attention. They know if they do, if they holler and scream and throw stuff along enough, you're going to tell them, do it again and see what happens. And they're just waiting for someone to lead them in the right direction, because they realize they can't lead themselves. And the person they're following them is leading them in the wrong direction. It's up to us to get back out there in these streets and tell the people about the goodness of the Lord. I heard somebody say today, it's not, you know, we can do all the good deeds in the world. We can help the people across the street. We can eat the lawn. We can cut the grass. We can do all these things. But if we don't tell them about Christ, if we don't take the opportunity to let them know, to ask them, are you saved? Do you know if you die today where you're going to go? We got to get back to leading them to Christ, not only just telling them that God is good and God is real, we got to get them back to lead them into the kingdom of God. We got to get them saved. We got to get them to the place where God can save them. We got to get them to the place where they can trust and believe in the God in us, so they'll want to give their life to Christ. Amen? Listen, our world is falling, suffering. Disability, hate, corruption, prejudice, alienation, discrimination, and various forms of pain are all consequences of that fallenness. Our perfect and holy God could have chosen to leave this world to its own devices and let it destroy itself. But alternatively, he could have decided to end all human existence. But he chose neither of those options. Instead, he sent his only son into our messed up world. Jesus came without fanfare, loved people as they were, as they are. He died as a common criminal. God has lived where we live. He knows our joys and our pains. God has walked in our shoes. So there's Jesus came to this earth as a human being. Jesus, he could have did anything. He suffered. He went through. He suffered. He went through. He did what he had to do to get to his ministry. He had a purpose. He had to go through what he had to go through for us. and we have purpose for somebody else. We have to go through some things for somebody else. Jesus did not give up his life so we can sit in big houses and lounge in big cars and eat at fancy restaurants and go to all these fancy. No. He gave his life so we can have everlasting life. And the power that he invested in us, the time he invested in us, the wisdom that he has invested in us, is to get back out there to his people, the sheep that's lost, and become sheep herders and gather them up for the Father. We're not sheep herding. We don't even know where half the sheep is at. We know how to fellowship one with another. We know where the sheep is at, but how many of us went out and said, listen, we got to do something about this. I'm going to grab me a bullhorn, and I'm going to be in the middle of the street. They're coming up this block, and I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to speak the gospel, and I'm going to trust and believe that the words are coming out of me that's going to affect somebody tonight. It's going to affect somebody who's thinking about being in the middle of this crowd. They're thinking about, after this over, I'm going to rob somebody. But if you get out there and speak God's word, ask God for what to say, and we speak it into that atmosphere, he's given us the information to speak to change the mindset of the people. My mindset was not changed because the dude who was robbing people with me said something to make me change my mind. My mindset was changed when I heard somebody talking about the gospel, when I heard somebody speaking about God. It didn't happen right away, but it led me closer to Christ. And every time it got me closer and closer, I kept going. I wanted to find out this Jesus for myself. I wanted to find out how real this God is for myself. But if they don't have a chance, and if they don't know how to even start, and we keep sitting back saying, why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? That's a shame. But what part do we play as Christians? What have we done lately to assist them into a better lifestyle? Yes, I know it's a COVID, a codemic thing going on, but that, listen, we walk in the power of God. Nothing that's impure is going to harm us anyway. If you trust and believe that, if you walk in faith, when was the last time you even asked God for an assignment? When was the last time we even seek God to hear God to see if he even gave us an assignment? We have to remember that God pays attention to those who are outcasts. I used to be an outcast. I know to those who are outcasts. Jesus spent little time with people of high social standing, but rather he focused on those who had been rejected, those who were suffering, and those with disabilities. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he did that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The book of John, verses 4 through 9. Chapter 4, verse 9 says, I'm going to start at just chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from a long walk, wearily beside the well, about noontime. And soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said, please give me a drink. He was alone, and at the time, because the disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for the drink? Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. They got to know him. They got to find out who they're talking to. When they're talking to us, when we're out and about, they got to know that they're talking to Christ. They got to be talking to the Christ in us. We can't get impatient. We can't, oh, man, it's hot out here. I can't stand it. They're not getting it. I don't care how long it takes. I am so happy that the people who was ministering to me did not give up on me, because where would I be if they would have gave up? I wasn't strong enough to seek God for myself. I wasn't determined enough to seek God for myself. I might have not even want to seek God for myself. Oh, well, they left me just like everybody else. Oh, well, they don't care about me. I'm nothing to them. You know how Christians are. They say they holding it down, talking about people. They look down on people. We got to start operating in love. We got to start operating in love. We got to start showing love. We got to start showing love, because Jesus is our lifeline. Jesus emphasizes remaining in him as the source of our Christian walk. And if you read the book of John, chapter 15, all the way through that, it will let you know that every believer must remain in Christ no matter what we're going through. No matter what is happening in our life, no matter who left us, no matter who died, no matter what job we lost, no matter how bad we feel, no matter what is going on in our life, no matter, we all must remain in Christ. Because of our disability or other challenging circumstances, some of us may perhaps recognize this need more keenly than those without immediate concerns. Amen. Nevertheless, Jesus' words ring true for us all. Only through him can we rise above difficult situations and live truly meaningful lives. And that's what the people that suffering needs to know, that only through Christ Jesus can we rise above our difficult situations. Only through Christ can we rise above our poverty mindset, our pettiness, pity on ourselves, just consistent pity. We only can those curses through Christ Jesus, those family generational curses. And some of us know what it means to break a generational curse. And a lot of people are walking around in generational curse status. They're suffering for something their fathers done, and they don't know how to get out, and they don't even know that they're suffering for somebody else's sin. We got to get to a place. We got to get to this place. Start helping those who are lost. It's up to us. God called us. Everybody's calling is different, but believe me, if God called you, he wants us to do the work. Amen? God is good to us. God loves us, and he will always be there for us. And because he's always there for us, and because he loves us, and because he's put grace, mercy, and he's given us favor, and he's been there for us, he wants us to give that same love to someone else. We got to start operating in the power of love, the undenying love. In the book of Corinthians, they talk about the undenying theme of the book is love. Love was made known to the world through what? The life and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christians are to love each other as evidence. They can't see us out there arguing, I ain't going to that church. Them heathens in that church. That pastor in that church ain't this. That bishop in that church ain't that. Oh, the praise and worship leader, you know, she's sleeping with everybody. Oh, they don't see love. They're not going to try to follow you. They see madness and chaos and craziness in their own neighborhood, in their own home. They see that all the time. They need to be around love. They need to be appreciated. They need someone to embrace them and say, God loves you. Do you know Christ? If you die today, do you know where your soul is going? Do you know him? The great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the I am. Do you know him? The miracle maker, the way maker. Do you know him? The great provider, the anointed one. Abba Father, do you know him? We got to break it down to the and they say it's to the nearest common denominator. If we had to sit there and just give them one word, two words, three words, and explain what we're saying to them. Don't just try to beat them up with some theological stuff. No, love. We got to get back to love. Hallelujah. Christians are to love each other as evidence of our life in Christ. And Jesus said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Ain't that something? Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Oh, praise God. That's why I try to love my wife even more. I have moments. I'm crazy, but my actions speak louder than my bark. She'll tell you, I bark loud, but my action shows I love her. I got to show her on a daily basis because God gave me a gift. He gave me a treasure. He gave me a helpmate to love her. No matter how crazy she may get, no matter how crazy she may make me get, no matter up and down, whatever she goes, okay, but I got to love her. I got to love her because by loving her, I honor Christ. By loving her, I'm telling God, I thank you for her. I thank you for her, Lord. I thank you for her prayers. I thank you for her fasting for me. I thank her for following my dreams and helping me build my dreams. I thank you, Lord, that you gave me the right one. I thank you, God, that you gave someone who can love me through my faults, someone who can love me through my madness, someone can love me with the love of the Lord. Because, see, if she didn't have God, she wouldn't have me because she wouldn't be with me no more. I'd drive somebody crazy. If it wasn't about Jesus, the love, if she didn't love Christ and obey the love and obey Christ and loved her husband like Christ loved the church, she'd have left me probably 2 days after we met. Probably wouldn't even been with me. Christ has a way of putting a unique love in us that he wants us to give to others. Amen. He has a way of putting it in us, and we just got to be obedient, and we have to remember love is such a powerful, powerful, powerful tool. Amen? It is so powerful. I'm amazed, and I thank God for all he's ever done for me. You know, my wife always tells me that God put people in your life for a season. And sometimes we get attached, and we have to remember that they wasn't meant to be there all the time. And even the assignments that we have toward those that are lost, once we lead them to Christ, we are to continue to love on them. We are to continue to stay in touch with them. But if God moves them or we don't see them, that doesn't mean, oh, I didn't did all this. I prayed for them, took them to church, and now they don't even call me. God might have them on another site. We were just the vessels that God used to do a work, do assignment. That's what we're here for, to do assignments. Jesus is our lifeline. The source of our Christian walk. He is the source. Believe me, he is the source. Amen. Just remember Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. Just think about him. Amen. Because we were saying that without the love of Christ, where would we be? Amen. I want you to go with me to a scripture. It's not a long scripture. John 13:35, I think it is. God has been so good to me. I refuse to let someone try to fake me out and say, you're wasting your time serving that God that you haven't seen. Oh, I see him. I talk to him. I see him in my everyday life. Every time I look in the mirror, I see a miracle. Every day that he lets me breathe, I see him. Every time that I make it through a trial and tribulation without my own will and my own knowledge and my own understanding, I know it was him. You can't fool me. Amen. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Wow. I love God, and I refuse to let anyone misdirect me. And we got to get out, because there's a lot of misdirected young men. There's a lot of misdirected young ladies who need some seasoned saints, not to say new saints can't impart anything, but seasoned saints had that bond with Christ that all they have to do is hum. All they had to do is say Father. All they had to do is say his name, because they built that rapport. As soon as they speak, he's answering. You see what I'm saying? That we got to remember the seasoned saints, they done went through. They done went through the mountains and the hills and the valleys and the losses and the ups and the downs and the lows and the woes. They done went through it. And in the midst of going through, they know how to communicate to Christ. They know how to listen to Christ. They know when he's present. They know his voice. They know how beautiful he smells. They know that lovely fragrance when he's around. And they know that they can go to Christ and say, Father God, there's a neighbor that needs your help. I can't help him, but your power, need that they have, only you can help them. And we got to start giving God credit and let God do and be who he is, instead of us trying to be a great I am and we're not. Amen. Because God's gifts are for all his people. Just like we have it, he might give somebody else another gift, but his gifts are for all his people, because the church is one body, but with many parts, and God's gifts are perfect for each person. God in his sovereignty gives every believer without exception unique gifts that are specific to his purpose, regardless of their abilities or disabilities. All gifts are meant to be shared with one another for the sake of building up the body of Christ. Paul said God has put each part just where he wants it. If you don't believe me, go to me, the book of 1 Corinthians 12. Hallelujah. That's the Bible. Amen. Glory to God. We got to get back into reading the Bible. Man, First Lady, we just have a good old time. She read some of what she's studying, and I'll read some of what I'm studying. Before you know it, throughout the week, we both glad that I'm glad she said she shared with me what she shared, because I needed that, and vice versa. It might not have been that day or that week that she used what I've read, but because we continuously read and we continuously study and we continually see God together about what's going on, he keeps us alert. He keeps us empowered. He keeps us intact. We can hear from him before the danger gets there. We can hear from him before the trial and tribulation come. We can hear from him when the test is right up around the corner. We can hear from him just when the enemy thinks he's getting close. We can hear from him when he says, boy, I love you. Woman, I love you. I'm glad you two together, because you're praising me. You're making me proud. You're worshiping me. You're fellowshipping. You're building the kingdom. You're doing it on the strength of Christ's blood. Hallelujah. It's nothing I've done on my own. It's on Christ's blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Connect yourself with some people that are seeking Christ. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. There are many parts, only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have, what, less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer. All the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. Y'all know who you are when you hear your title. You know who you are when you hear your anointing. Amen. Oh, you know who you are. First are apostles. Start walking in your apostleship. Stop saying I'm apostle so-and-so, but don't live that lifestyle. Stop saying I'm apostle so-and-so, but don't want to do apostles' work. God is giving you that first. Listen, the Bible says God has appointed for the church first the apostle, second the prophets. Now, if you're an apostle and a prophet, what should you be doing? Oh, you should be visiting churches. You should be visiting ministry houses, halfway houses, under the house, below the house, on top of the house, in between the house. You should have access to the morgue. You should have access to the police station. You should have, anywhere that Christ is needed, you should be able to go freely. And they should be able to accept you because they know who you are. They know whose you are. They know whom you belong to. But if nobody see you, nobody know. That's like my mom. Nobody knew. Okay, here's a prime. Thank you, Jesus. Prime an example. Me and my first lady was watching a movie last night. We both sitting there watching the movie the whole time. Neither one, the lady was working for the mother and the son, and neither one of us knew it was the mother. That was her son through the whole movie. You know why? She never said nothing about him. She never talked about him. Nobody knew but the secret people. But when it came to the light, it was so much love and so much joy. They became one again. They got back together. But if nobody knows who you are or who you are, how can they respect you? How can they call on you? How can they depend on you? They just know you as Leroy or Leslie or Billy or JoJo. They don't know you. Amen. Third is the teacher. Now, if you're an apostle, a prophet, and a teacher, get down. You should be getting down. Because, see, there's studying, there's fasting, there's prayer, there's isolation time, there's communication time with the Lord. That's a lot. But that's the body. Then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, that's everybody, those who have the gift of leadership, it's a whole lot of us, those who speak in unknown languages. Now that list right there, find out where you fit in and be honest with yourself and say, Lord, I'm your body, arms, the eyes, listen. Some of y'all is three parts of the body. Some of y'all four parts of the body. Some of us only one part of the body, but so what? Every part counts. Every part has a job. And the other parts can't do it without the other part. Amen. The knee ain't going nowhere without the feet. Amen. The mouth ain't going to say nothing or taste nothing without the tongue. The head ain't going to hear nothing without the ears. Oh, come on, y'all. Love is the greatest. Amen. If I could speak all the language of earth and of angels, but didn't love each other, I would only be a nosy going on a clanging cymbal. A clanging cymbal. I just wanted us to realize that we need love. Dear friend, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And that's why a lot of people are behaving and acting the way they do and are. They don't know love. They don't know God. They don't know Christ. They don't know Jesus. And they're just acting out. I want help. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. Please help me. Please help me. They don't know God. I'm going to go play a song, and I'll be right back.
Jesus said, if you lean on me.
Yeah. Church.
Jesus said,
hallelujah.
You can lean.
good God Almighty. I don't need no excuse.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Mount Carmel International Radio. Praise God, MCI Ministry Radio. We thank and praise God for you joining us on today. These are our announcements. On Monday night, Your Fix at 6 will be on with no other than the one and only Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil at 6 p.m. Be prompt, y'all. God has a word for you. On Wednesday morning at 6 a.m., amen, praise God, no other than the one and only Dr. Carolyn McNeil will be on for the Hour of Power and Praise. Join her for Morning Glory Service. She will be prompt, and I bet you that you will have a blessed time in the Lord for the Hour of Power and Praise. And don't forget Fresh Fire Friday, the blowing of the shofar. And also, y'all, praise God, we have praise and worship and glory to God and all kinds of different things that Pastor Keeping It Real comes up with. Praise God, it's just been such a blessing to get a refreshing from the Lord. We thank you for just joining us on that day. Praise God, Friday at 7 p.m., he will be on. Be prompt, y'all, because you don't want to miss the blowing of the shofar. Hallelujah. And we thank God. If you want to be a blessing to the ministry, you may do so. Our Cash App is $Anointed222. That's $Anointed. That's A-N-O-I-N-T-E-D 222. You don't want to miss the time and what God is doing. So be a blessing and sow into the ministry. We can use your help for furthering the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, y'all. Let us bless the kingdom of God. And we thank you. But don't forget, y'all, we are in celebration. I know that, glory to God, it is a time of celebration. And don't forget to say happy, happy birthday to the man of God. Hallelujah. Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil, birthday is on Tuesday, y'all. Just give him a shout out. Praise God. Give him a text. Praise God. And we thank you for it. God bless you all. God bless you all. Guess what? Jesus loves you, and so do we.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. We want to thank First Lady for our announcements. Amen. Glory to God. We thank God for putting in the time and all the time and energy he puts in, not only for the announcement, but during the Sunday morning service as well as Wednesday morning of Our Power and Praise. She's up at 3 and she's doing the work of God at 6. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's ministry and it's an assignment, and a lot of us have assignments and a lot of us have ministry to do, and we got to get on the ball because people are dying, and people are dying and not knowing Christ. People are suffering, and we're in the midst of them, and we got to get on the ball to make sure that they know the love of the Lord and that they know Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And we just want to I'm just still jamming. Oh, man, that's the Holy Ghost. Open up the street and just put the big speaker in and ride up and down the street and get everybody, just have all the houses. You know, they put that Marvin, I was watching the movie, they put that Marvin Gaye song on, and everybody throughout the movie was just jamming. We need to just put that on and ride up and down the street and just get people the Holy Ghost. Just let people, let the music do what God has called it, and let the anointing of the music just go through the people and have a Holy Ghost good time. Amen. I really thank you all for supporting the ministry, and I thank you all for faithfully, continuously to come out and be with us and be a part of us, and we love you with the love of the Lord, and we pray that the peace of all God's understanding be in your home, be with your family and friends and your neighbors, and even on our enemies, amen, glory to God. We just want to remember that Christ has been crucified with Christ, and our sins has been crucified with God, amen. And we had to know now that Christ lives in us, amen. the life that now, that our life now is a new life. We have a new lifestyle. We have a new way of living. We live by faith. Amen. We live by the faith of the Son of the God. We live by faith of Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us. Amen. So let's start giving parts of our life for someone else so someone else can live. Let's start giving of ourselves when we see the young man and the young lady that's going through and suffering and behaving in a way. We don't have to bombard them. It's a way that we can do it. We just seek God for wisdom, and God will guide us in their direction, and God will lead them to us because they are our assignments. Amen. And I just want to pray everybody's strength, and I want to pray that God continue to give us divine wisdom and understanding, and he continue to give us healing where we're weak and where we're sick and where we're aching, and he continues to uplift us, and he continue to secretly and just sneak in, and one day, whatever the illness may be, whatever, if it's mental, if it's physical, whatever the lack may be, now it's more than enough. Wherever you was weak, now you're strong. Wherever you were sad, now you're happy. Amen. I just pray that we trust God enough to know that whatever we're going through, God can bring us out. Amen. And he's bringing us out so we can bring someone else out. So we thank you and we glorify you. Amen. And we're going to pray out, Father God. And Father, I thank you. I trust you. I love you and believe in you. And I thank you for what you've already done. Now, Father, use us, your assigned disciples, to go out into your land, your world that you have made, and disciple your children unto you, God. Use us, Father God, to thread over all scorpions, all serpents, any trick the enemy may use. Father, we ask you right now to bind up every trick that he may try to come, every trick of our mind, every trick of laziness, the deception of I can't do it now. Father God, use us to do your will and your bidding here on earth so people can be saved and delivered and they can be brought up unto you so we can all rejoice and praise you in heaven together. Father, they, no matter what their situation is, Father, they are your children. Like we was once lost and now found, Father, show us how to find your lost sheep and bring them to you, the original chief and commander. And we trust and believe that it's already done, Father. Impact us with wisdom, understanding, and power. And wherever we're weak, Father, make us strong, Father. Give us the endurance. Give us the health. Give us the strength. And we'll continue to praise you, seek you, love you, and devour your wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until we meet next time, I love you with the love of the Lord. From MCI Ministry, this has been your Fix It Six, and I have been your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. God bless.